This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yi Su Heap. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
many people don't appreciate that tuberculosis is the number one infectious killer in the world today. 1.7 million people are dying of this disease every year.
That's Anne Ginsberg, chief medical officer for the TB vaccine developer Eris. She announced results of a recent study on the vaccine at the 5th Global Forum on TB Vaccines taking place this week in New Delhi. Details coming up.
Also, Botswana takes the unusual step of directly criticizing Congolese President Joseph Kabila for refusing to hold elections. And South Africa's new cabinet was sworn in today.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, Botswana has taken the unusual step of directly criticizing Congolese President Joseph Kabila, saying his refusal to hold elections is driving deadly violence and a growing humanitarian crisis. Analysts say the statement increases the pressure on Kabila to step down. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
Botswana's foreign ministry declined VOA's request to elaborate on the statement, but the words speak for themselves. The statement reads, Botswana urges the international community to put more pressure on the leadership in the Democratic Republic of Congo to relinquish power and pave way for the ushering in of a new political dispensation. That is a strong shot across the bow at Congolese President Joseph Kabila, who's remained in office despite the end of his term in December 2016. Kabila has repeatedly postponed elections in what critics see as an attempt to retain power. As a result, the DRC has seen growing political unrest, some of it backed by the powerful Catholic Church. The most recent round of protests saw two protesters killed by security forces. Congolese officials did not answer calls seeking comment about the latest political developments. Calls to the Archdiocese of Kinshasa went unanswered, and its website appears to have been suspended. Congolese political analyst Claude Kabemba praised Botswana's bold statement.
It's a brilliant position. There is a consistency in Botswana's position about democracy on the continent. I think that call for President Joseph Kabila, identifying him as the major stumbling block and problem in the Congo, coming from a country that is a member of SADC, it's an important position to take in a region where countries seem to be leaders, support each other and are afraid to criticize each other.
The reluctance to criticize may be gone after recent leadership changes in Angola and South Africa, says Congo analyst Ben Shepherd from Chatham House, a London-based research group. He notes that Botswana's statement hasn't drawn a reaction from its neighbors.
Patience may be running somewhat more thin over the political impasse that has kept Kinshasa's politics from taking any steps forward of any description in recent years.
Ultimately, says Kabemba, any change in Congo needs to come from within.
What we've seen with Congo is that most of the time, the change of regime of president has been orchestrated by external factors. And I think we need to avoid that. And to support the Catholic Church, anybody who wants to help is to support the Catholic Church, to support the opposition to President Kabila, so that the change comes from within Congo than being propelled from outside.
Still, he says, the words from Botswana matter. This is the second time the nation of 2 million has spoken out against an entrenched leader in the region. The last time was 2 days before Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe, in power for 37 years, succumbed to pressure to resign. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
South Africa's new cabinet was sworn in today, a day after President Cyril Ramaphosa appointed new ministers. The new cabinet includes familiar faces such as Finance Minister Nahanlala Nini. He was brought back to help rebuild the weak economy Former President Jacob Zuma had fired him as finance minister in 2015. Ramaphosa replaced several Zuma appointees. However, he also appointed some ministers seen as close to Zuma who resigned under party pressure 2 weeks ago. Among them is Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, the new minister in the presidency responsible for planning, monitoring and evaluation of programs. Dlamini Zuma once was married to Jacob Zuma, and he backed her last year when she ran against Ramaphosa to become president of the African National Congress. Ramaphosa today said this will be a transitional cabinet until elections are held next year. However, he made clear in a meeting with traditional leaders today that he wants to push ahead quickly on land reform program to give dispossessed blacks access to land.
The World Health Organization reports it is teaming up with national and international health agencies to tackle what appears to be the largest outbreak of Lassa fever in Nigeria. The latest figures show 1,081 suspected cases of the disease, including 90 deaths. Lisa Schlein reports from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The World Health Organization reports 317 of more than 1,000 suspected cases of Lassa fever have been confirmed during the past 8 weeks. It says the number is more than the 305 cases reported all of last year, making this the biggest Lassa fever outbreak in Nigeria to date. While the disease is present in 17 Nigerian states, WHO reports it is largely concentrated in the three southern states of Edo, Ondo, and Ebonyi. Lassa fever is endemic in Nigeria, as it is in a number of West African states. WHO spokesman Tarek Jazarevich says investigations are going on to find out why this year's outbreak is so extensive.
WHO is helping to coordinate health actors and is joining rapid risk assessment teams traveling to hotspots to investigate the outbreak. WHO is supporting Lassa Fever Emergency Operations Center, that is led by the Nigeria Center for Disease Control, to revise the Lassa Fever Incident Action Plan and to strengthen surveillance, infection prevention control and treatment, as well as better coordination and conducting Lassa Fever research and development.
Lassa fever is an acute viral hemorrhagic illness that occurs in West Africa. The virus is transmitted to humans via contact with food or household items contaminated with rodent urine or feces. Jazarevich tells VOA the virus also can be spread between humans.
Once a person is infected, can infect other people just like Ebola was through the contact with body fluids. So mainly that would be the healthcare workers who are not properly trained and who are not properly equipped, who may then get infected inside the healthcare facilities.
The incubation period of Lassa fever ranges from 6 to 21 days. The WHO says the best way to prevent the disease is by promoting good community hygiene to discourage rodents that spread the disease from entering homes. Besides storing grain and other foodstuffs in rodent-proof containers, the WHO suggests keeping cats in the home is a good idea. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
A nonprofit TB vaccine developer, Aris, presented results of a study on the effects of the TB vaccine on high-risk healthy adolescents. The results were released at a press conference at the 5th Global Forum on TB Vaccines, taking place this week in New Delhi, India. The vaccine, known as BCG, is nearly 100 years old and is given to infants around the world. However, it does not adequately protect teens and adults who are most at risk for developing and spreading TB. The study was conducted to see if a second dose of the TB vaccine for high-risk healthy adolescents might provide protection against TB. Anne Ginsberg is the chief medical officer for Aris and one of the researchers. She spoke with me from the forum about the significance of the study.
Many people don't appreciate that tuberculosis is the number one infectious killer in the world today. 1.6 7 million people are dying of this disease every year. There is real urgency around both using the tools we currently have, which includes BCG, better in ways that will be more effective and help control this epidemic better, and at the same time developing even more effective tools, including and especially a vaccine, because we will not end this epidemic without an effective vaccine. So that's what the meeting here in Delhi has been about. BCG is the only currently licensed vaccine for tuberculosis, and it's been used in people since 1921 when it was first developed by two French scientists, Calmette and Guérin, which are the C and G in BCG. And it's the most widely delivered vaccine in the world, but it's delivered to newborns. And it helps protect them against severe forms of TB for about the first 5 years of life. But it clearly is not protecting adolescents and adults from tuberculosis. And that's really important. That's really important because adolescents and adults are the ones who are spreading TB. They get TB in their lungs, and when they cough, they spread it not only to the adults around them, but also to the children and babies around them. We need to protect the adolescents and adults so that they stop spreading it to everybody else.
You conducted a study to see if a second dose of the BCG vaccine would help for high-risk healthy adolescents and adults. So what were these findings?
So what we showed was in a population of healthy adolescents who were neither HIV infected nor infected yet with TB, that a second dose of BCG seems to help them, enable them to better control and maybe even clear the infection. So that suggests more follow-on studies to absolutely prove it. But it's a strong indicator that there may be groups at very high risk of TB, like these uninfected adolescents, who, if given a second dose of BCG, would help be protected from TB. And BCG is not only safe in most people, it's also very inexpensive, and it's also licensed. If that works, then this would be a very relatively rapid, inexpensive, cost-effective way of helping to protect more people from ever getting TB and helping to save lives.
Who participated in this particular study?
So it was 990 adolescents from the Western Cape of South Africa, area around Cape Town. They had all received BCG as infants, and they were currently healthy, as I said, HIV negative and uninfected by the bacteria that caused tuberculosis.
So what will be your next step?
We're now initiating discussions with all the key stakeholders, the communities that would ultimately use this vaccine, the funders, the government, key experts, to decide exactly on those next steps. We need follow-on studies, again, to show that another dose of BCG would really protect against disease, not just infection, which is what we've shown in this study. And it's a matter of designing those studies now and ensuring that we have funding to conduct them as soon as possible, because this is, again, a tool that could be rolled out pretty rapidly once we confirm the results.
That was ARIS Chief Medical Officer Anne Ginsberg. She spoke with me from New Delhi, India. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Suhib, 19 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Botswana takes the unusual step of directly criticizing Congolese President Joseph Kabila for refusing to hold elections. And in South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa's new cabinet was sworn in today. Among them, among the new ministers, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
To to Zimbabwe, Morgan Tsvangirai was the father of opposition politics and a champion of democracy. But his funeral last week was a nightmare for journalists as they were harassed on several occasions. Reporter Kuzazi Zvinavashi reports the harassment is part of a pattern with the Movement for Democratic Change.
For many journalists in Zimbabwe, covering the country's opposition Movement for Democratic Change lately has been an extreme sport. Its founder, Morgan Tsvangirai, died 2 weeks ago of cancer. His funeral was a national affair with tens of thousands of mourners at several events. But journalists trying to cover the mourning reports, they faced steady harassment. If it was not the Tsvangirai family castigating the media over its coverage, then it was younger MDC members threatening journalists. Lucky Aroni is a producer with Bustop TV and was among the journalists who covered Tsvangirai's burial.
Covering MDC events is very difficult, especially for us video and photographers, because when we are shooting, the MDC guys, they always want to push camera people or take away cameras from us. Like recently in Boera, the youths were very violent.
In what some analysts say was a sign of the party's factional battles, one MDC vice president, Thokozani Kuphe, and some senior party members were attacked by youths at Tsvangirai's funeral. The mob that forced Kuphe to take shelter at a nearby home also turned hostile to journalists covering the story. Members of the MDC's youth wing threatened journalists and chased them away from the scene. MDC's acting president, Nelson Chamisa, says the leadership is investigating the attack and he has apologized to Kuphe. He says the party also will look into the harassment of the media.
It's something that we need to administratively deal with, but I must apologize. We have brought it to our attention, we'll deal with it, and I'll ask the team in the information department to make sure that that kind of a problem is resolved. I must be saying, I'm sorry. I hope you understand. I didn't know about it, but we have brought it to our attention.
Despite that promise, Bustop TV, an online media house that reports on news events and also produces comic skits, has received threats.
After the story we did on Kuphe, we received a number of messages on all our social media platforms, threats from MDC members saying that if we attend any event of MDC, they're going to deal with us.
Over the past 2 weeks, Morgan Tsvangirai's brother, Collins, frequently called journalists peddlers of false information. At one point, he threatened to chase journalists from the burial site. This hostile relationship with the news media is not new for the MDC or for Zimbabwe. Under former President Robert Mugabe, who was forced out of power last year, journalists frequently faced government harassment and arrests. And over the years, several journalists have been assaulted while covering MDC events. On some occasions, reporters said it was because they were mistaken for journalists working for state-controlled media. Journalists are not the only targets of MDC anger. Politicians who are critical of the party also have come under fire. Former MDC politician Elton Mangoma was assaulted when he left the party in 2014. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zvinavashe from Harare.
South Africa is home to diverse communities and cultures. It has 11 official languages, some of which are spoken countrywide, while others are unique to certain regions. This diversity is embraced by most, but it means people sometimes struggle to access essential services, such as psychological counseling, in their mother tongue. Nadia Same reports from Johannesburg.
The languages of South Africa are rich and diverse, but with 11 official languages and several more unofficial ones, a lot can be lost in translation. The Mental Health Federation of South Africa estimates one-third of the population has a mental illness, and nearly 75% of them will not receive any treatment. Judy Strickland is the founder of Hope House, a mental health agency. She says language is often a barrier for those seeking mental health services, in part because using translators doesn't work in counseling sessions.
So we don't use interpreters at all, but we do offer counseling in some of the South African language. We love you to be able to offer it in all 11, but obviously we can't. We do English, we have Afrikaans, Swana, and we have isiXhosa, and we have some French.
Cultural differences also come into play. South Africa is a melting pot of diversity, but it can sometimes lead to misunderstandings.
Because what I might deem acceptable might not be acceptable to somebody else, and vice versa. And so we've got to look at behaviors. We have to look at language, not necessarily, whether it's English or Afrikaans kind of language, but the words that people use differ from culture to culture. So words have different meanings in different cultures.
Judy describes a counseling session in which different interpretations of a single word could have resulted in a criminal matter.
I've done some counseling with a young gentleman who was from a completely different culture to mine, not only culturally, but, you know, in the context of the environment that he lived in. And, you know, he spoke about things that his kind wouldn't do with him. Now, to me, a kind in Afrikaans is a child. But some of the things he was saying were totally inappropriate for a child to do. And so I had to explore that. And then I found out that actually a kind in his culture is his girlfriend. You know, and so I could have judged him horribly by what he was saying.
Judy says in the 14 years her organization has been around, there has been a shift in perception toward counseling. People who once frowned upon opening up to complete strangers have warmed up to the process. But she says many South Africans who do receive counseling do so in their second or even third language. That means they have to share deeply personal experiences in a language they're not necessarily comfortable with. Some clients use metaphors to express themselves, so counselors must be competent not only in therapeutic methods, but also in linguistic and cultural interpretation. For VOA Africa, I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Lenore Mudu, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will discuss autism, a developmental disorder that impairs the ability to communicate and interact. Our guest, Susan Quizera, founder of the nonprofit organization New Life Foundation. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information. On the next Straight Talk Africa,
Ethiopia is set to undergo a major political change following the unexpected resignation of Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn. The nation is now under a six-month state of emergency, as declared by the defense minister, but the U.S. State Department says it strongly disagrees with a call to declare a state of emergency. A discussion on Ethiopia.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.